Thank you, Father.
Father, thank you that your word is living and active, dividing asunder between joints and marrow, soul and the spirit, and all of those things, Lord. It's powerful, Lord. Father, I pray for your word this morning right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Lord, I pray for your word. I pray for Ray, the speaker, Lord Jesus, to be free, clear, anointed by you, Lord Jesus, that we might hear. Anoint us to hear and anoint Ray to speak to us, to our hearts, Lord, the things that you want said this morning. We bless your word unto our hearts and glorify thy name,
yes,
Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think I'm on here. Very good. Thanks, Bob. If you could turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20. And as you're doing that, I found this interesting quote, and it's, I thought, quite true. It's actually from a medieval manuscript. And it says, the church is something like Noah's Ark. If it were not for the storm outside, you could not stand the smell inside. How true. But it's wonderful inside. Amen? You know, I just really appreciate the worship this morning, Bob, and the team. I mean, small but powerful. It was very good. And it really, it almost preached my message. So it was, that was encouraging too. And Jeremiah chapter 20, and we'll go to that in verse 9 particularly. But the title of the message is Being on Fire for God. We want to talk about the fire of God. Let me just give you a couple of interesting, I guess, quotes you could call them that different people have said. The fire doesn't make you what you are. It reveals what you were. You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know it. And if you are on fire, you will not have to advertise it either. And I think God wants to speak something to us this morning. God is most glorified in us when our knowledge and experience of him ignite a forest fire of joy that consumes all competing pleasures, and he alone becomes the treasure that we prize. There's something about the fire that stirs within us that eliminates everything else that is not part of that treasure. Destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessing fire, nothing else matters. I believe in this day, saints, that we are being implored, we are being beckoned, we are being urged to catch the fire of God afresh. Because it's the only thing that's going to carry us through the days that are ahead. And we need only look around at the situations around the world and realize that that many Christians, we seem to be very comfortable here, but many are having to stand and only have the fire of God to carry them and to be able to stand in the testimony that they carry. D.L. Moody said, we are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. And I believe part of that fire is about us shining. And part of that fire is also about love. Pope John Paul said this. He said, real love is demanding. I would fail in my mission if I did not tell you so. Love demands a personal commitment to the will of God. Another saint, St. Clare of Assisi. We become what we love, and who we love shapes what we become. Let me say that again. We become what we love, and who we love shapes what we become. If we love things, we become a thing. If we love nothing, we become nothing. Imitation is not a literal mimicking of Christ. Rather, it means becoming the image of the beloved, an image disclosed through transformation. Oh God, we need transformation. And we need the fire of God to transform us. The scripture in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9 reads this way. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot endure it. There is something about the fire of God when we have it, just has to get out. And if we hold it inside, it will indeed consume us. David Brainerd was a missionary in New England to the New England Indians about 200 years ago. And this is what he wrote. He says, "Oh, that I might be a flaming fire in the service of the Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me from all that is called earthly comfort. Send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom." That's the one that says, "It's okay, Papa, I don't need my Bible in Sunday school." David Brainerd, he made a difference for God, utterly disproportionate to who he was. He was an obscure missionary in New England. He died at an age of 29. He was a very young man. He was not well known. He was extremely vulnerable to depression. But his life has inspired the modern missionary movement perhaps more than the life of any other person in modern times. Why? He was so aflame with God and so aflame for God that Jonathan Edwards felt led by God to put Brainerd's brief missionary career of 5 years. That's all he spent was 5 years. And he put it in his journal into a book called The Life of David Brainerd. And that book has changed the world. I remember reading it many years ago and it changed my outlook completely. It's amazing what God can do through a short life ablaze with the glory of God. It's amazing what God can do with a short life if it's ablaze for his glory. The impact can be all out of proportion to who a person is. You may look at yourself even this morning and say, "I don't have much." And maybe you can even identify with someone like David Brainerd, prone to depression, weak. He was physically weak too. And yet he had such a fire within him. He had such a flame burning in him that it impacted everybody that was around him. The dictionary defines fire as an active principle of burning characterized by the heat and light of combustion. To be on fire for God is to be so passionate about God that God is visible through you to others. There's something about a person who is on fire for God that automatically attracts you to them. To be on fire for God, a person on fire for God lives for him. Acknowledges him in all aspects of life, not just when we're in need of something. You know, sometimes our life as a Christian, my life as a Christian, I don't put it on you. Sometimes my life as a Christian is more like, you know, one that's sitting in the foxhole. You know, in the war we say, you're in a time of real trial and a real thing, and that's when you cry out and say, "Oh God, I'll do anything if you just get me out of this." Is that what your life's like? Because if a fire on God, every part of our life is evident to others. When on fire for God, the warmth of love, we talked about love at the beginning, makes one hardly contain the joy that one feels for God. There's something about that joy that burns within us, which results in wanting to share with others, irrespective of their religious traditions or affiliations. Is there something in you that just compels you to have to talk to somebody about God? To talk about the wonder of who he is. If there isn't, then we need God to ignite something in us. We need the fire of God. To be on fire for God is being excited about the fact that we have been forgiven sin. We talked about it this morning. Have we realized what God has really done for us? And does it kindle a flame within us? A fire. And that we experience the results of the refining fire of God. And the Spirit of God is now living in us. When we realize that we are growing in grace. And we see that God's will is being fulfilled through our lives. There's something about the fire of God. About being excited. Are you excited that that Jesus paid for your sin?
Yeah?
Yeah? Or is it only when we come and we celebrate the communion, all of a sudden, oh yeah, I remember now. But is there such an excitement, is there such a burning within us, that, oh God, if not for your forgiveness, if not for your sacrifice, and does it fill you with a joy? Does it fill you with excitement? And being on fire for God is what all of us should be at all times, irrespective of the changing situations of life. You know, sometimes it's easy to be on fire for God when things are really, really good. When it seems like, oh man, your marriage is going well and your children are really obeying and, you know, they're falling, you're proud of them. And I mean, I'm always proud of them anyways, but, you know, but is there something in you that even when the situations change, that the fire of God remains? See, if you're on fire for God, you want to hear more of God's word because his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. See, there's no journey we can take if the word of not God is not the internal guide within us. If the word of God is known, if the word of God is accepted, if the word of God is applied, then it will become a fire within. And that's why, saints, I'm encouraging myself. Listen, if I'm speaking, I'm speaking doubly to myself. If I want the fire, I need this inside of me. Because it's like it's not just the kindling, it's the fire, very fire itself. The choice one has to make in everyday living, when facing issues that run against our deepest conviction, that will determine whether we're on fire for God or whether we're on fire for the world. Listen to what Martin Luther said. He said, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I even may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. There's something about in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the things, that we have something in us that will compel us to stand. We love singing the song, and I stand with arms high and heart abandoned. It's easy to do that here. What about if we're in Iraq right now? Or Lebanon or Syria or China or Africa or Myanmar? I'll stand with hearts, arms high and heart abandoned. It's not going to happen unless it's inside here. In Burundi and Congo and Rwanda, where we work, years ago there was a group that were, what they were known as is the Shining Ones. There was such a fire and such a presence of God around them that everybody, that's the only thing they could describe. They were the Shining Ones. That's what one writer wrote. The glory, this is one of them who saw these men and women. The glory of God which we experienced here is hard to explain. I don't have the words to convey it. I was a teenager when the fire came on me. We didn't need anyone to teach us not to steal or things like that. The presence of God was so strong that if you did anything wrong, you had to confess it and repent right away. You couldn't keep anything out of the light. Repentance had been the hallmark of those early days. Stolen goods had been returned and families reunited as the Holy Spirit had convicted people of sin. The believers were known as the Shining Ones by those around on account of the light of God which filled their lives and shone from their faces. God. And this was a fellow by the name of Enoch who was talking, and I've actually met him. He's 96 years old now. Like his generation the world over, Enoch needed little encouragement to recount times long gone. I went on many journeys with Isaiah. This was one of the Shining Ones. And when the glory of God came, we felt we couldn't stay in this place. We had to go out and preach the gospel so that if Jesus came back, he would find us moving from place to place, obeying his command. We walked for many weeks to reach distant places. Even old women were with us, but God gave them strength. Everywhere we went, we would be preaching and planting churches. Isaiah was a mighty preacher. There was such an excitement and a longing to see people saved that sometimes we would even forget to eat. Have you ever had moments like that? I want those kind of moments where it doesn't matter. Supper, dinner, lunch, when they, a couple days ago. But there's something of a fire that's burning. As Jesus was leaving the earth to return to the Father, he made it very clear to his disciples that there was no way that they could live without connecting to the supernatural power. And we find that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 to 5, and that this power he was about to make available to them. Jesus said this, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay into the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," were among the final words that Jesus spoke. Jesus told the disciples, "In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This power was about to be made available to all believers in order for them to live the kind of life that Jesus lived. Saints, I want to tell you, we need a fresh baptism of fire. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit because we cannot live the life that he intended for us to live without it. And maybe the flame has gone cold. Maybe the flame, there's just embers there. But I want to say, Holy Spirit, blow. Blow and blow it into a flame and let something be evident in our lives that testifies to that. I believe that we're in days of revival. That God wants to do a revival in you, in me. God wants to do a revival in this church. God wants to do a revival in the city. God wants to do a revival in every place that we touch, in our workplaces, in our schools. But it's not going to happen without that fire that's inside. We can mouth the words. We can follow the program. We can do what everybody else has done before. But it's going to have little effect unless the fire of God is in us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it cannot be achieved by self-effort. It's only by being filled with the Holy Spirit every day that we have the possibility for all these things to be part of our daily experience. When we are filled with heaven's resources, love, joy, and peace will be poured into our hearts to connect us with the loving and faithful Father. And in turn, those very things will flow out to others. When we desire that patience and kindness be shown to all those we come in contact with in our everyday, ordinary experience. Saints, this isn't going to happen by trying hard. How many have tried really hard to be patient? Yeah, Marjorie's the only one that's being honest this morning. How about, have you tried really hard to be kind? How many, boss asked me this question. He says, Papa, have you ever made New Year's resolutions? First, they said, what's a New Year's resolution? And I said, well, this is when people at the end of the year, they realize that they messed it up the year before. And they're going to try really hard to make it better in the year to come. And I said, it usually lasts about a week. And he said, have you ever made any New Year's resolutions? I said, oh, yeah. And many times it's the, oh, God, let me be, oh, Lord, let me have love. Let me have more love. Let me have more joy. I'm going to try to be joyful. I'm going to put on a happy, Lord, let me be a man of peace. You know, every time I'm faced, 10 deep breaths, you know, all the programs, all the things that we try to do to show that we're at peace. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, help me to be self-controlled. I'm going to be really hard. I'm really, really, really going to try. It'll only happen if we receive power from the Holy Spirit to enable us. It'll only happen if the fire of God comes afresh into our lives. It'll only happen if we allow the Spirit to blow upon the embers within us and kindle it to a blazing flame. When we seek to be faithful and self-controlled, we need to know that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Duh. Now I get it. It isn't about putting restrictions on. It isn't about, oh, Lord, you know, just tie my hands behind my back so I don't mess up. It's about the Holy Spirit coming into us. Peter wrote, his divine power. Can you say power? Power. You have to say it like this. Power. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. For what? Life and godliness. We can't do it without his power. Are you trying to cope with your own human resources? Or are you ready to receive some power from on high? See, we can have the power of God, or we can have the fire of God, or we can have a religious fire. And there is a difference. In your notes there in the back of the bulletin, you'll see that there's four things. First of all, here's one of the key things to make sure if you want to be on fire for God. And not just religious fire. You need to clarify the individual identity before the group identity. And let me explain. See, it's your relationship with Christ that matters before even identification with this church, or identification with a denomination, or identification with a fellowship. See, when group identity comes before individual identity, you have group knowledge and not revelatory knowledge. See, let me explain. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had knowledge of what was expected of them by God. And the knowledge they had was oppressive to them in that it did not allow them to have an open mind. The knowledge they had made them be on fire, not out of a conviction of what they believe, but out of to be on fire for the beliefs that their ancestors had passed on to them. They were on fire for that. And when they realized that Jesus Christ, he was claiming to be the Son of the Most High God, they freaked out. They started seeking ways to trap him. They started seeking ways to destroy him. It says they set some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They were locked up in what had been passed on as tradition. Group identity. Rather than individual. Revelatory knowledge. You contrast that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were literally set on fire because of being on fire for God. And they distinguished themselves by their choices. God, let us be like that. Let us be like that. They chose to eat food that was in alignment with their beliefs in God. They had trust that God, whom they honored through their choices, would give them the health that was required to do what they had to do. Do you have identity? We're going to get to this in just a moment. See, it isn't enough to say, you know, someone comes and says, well, are you okay? Yeah, I'm part of Vernon Christian Fellowship. No. Are you a Christian? Do you have a living, on fire relationship with God yourself? Irrespective of who's around you. And if we all could say amen, it would change our lives. Secondly, we need to be connected to God. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they trusted in the inherited leadership and what that leadership, how they analyzed the kingdom of God. They were willing to, in fact, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were willing to kill anyone who had a different knowledge from them, what they had known, and there was no room for examining anything. They weren't connected to God. They were connected to a system. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nada. Nothing. Nothing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just to refer back to them again, had something different. On the other hand, they had a living relationship with God. It wasn't just something that had been passed down from generation to generation, system to system. They had something inside them that was living and alive. And they knew that in their everyday choices, they knew they had to depend on God. They knew they had to depend on God, not on the systems. Not on the structure of a denomination or anything. They had to depend on God because of their own personal relationship with God. And it's only out of that relationship that we can live. E.M. Bounds said this. He said, it is only when the whole heart is gripped with the passion of prayer that life-giving fire descends. For none but the earnest man gets accessed to the ear of God. You can't do that if you're following a system. You can't do that if you're just mouthing the words that everyone else has said before you. It's got to be alive. Thirdly, you need to die to self. It's about dying. Dying to your plans. Dying to your motives. Learning to long for and to do God's will. Let me make a statement. You cannot work for God. You cannot work for God. That's what's commonly assumed. No, our duty as Christians is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your body and all your soul, And when you love the Lord, then you listen to him and obey what he tells you to do. The issue of focusing on self is not what drives you, but the love of God. If we just look at ourselves and say, what am I going to do? How will I make myself look better? We won't do it. We have to do it out of the love of God and what he tells us to do. Dying to our plans and our motives. And then there's the choice of company, the fourth thing, which is very important. See, the Sadducees and the Pharisees fed each other with knowledge that blocked them from knowing who Jesus was. And that's why we need to be sure that we're in the company of one who has a genuine and living relationship with God. We need to surround ourselves with people who have that kind of relationship. See, when Daniel realized he was facing death, who did he turn to? He needed to negotiate to the king. Who did he turn to? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The ones who were with him. The ones who had a common fire within them. See, the fellowship you keep matters. Saints, the world is desperately right now seeking for a warmth that can only come from a people who are on fire for God. I watch television and I watch all these things. And I went into the bookstore the other day and I was looking on, you know, into religion. And most of the shelves in a bookstore, a common bookstore that has things about religion, it has more things about self-help and self-promotion and how you can be better and how you can improve and everything. That's what is occupying the religious bookshelves in a lot of our stores, because that's what the world sees. There's a lot of earthbound thinking of self-promotion and materialism, but they leave people hollow and cold and frustrated because it seems like we never make it. It's like dieting. How many have tried dieting? How many have tried 5 different dieting programs? Come on. How many have tried 10? Yeah. We work and we work and we work at it. But at the end, it leaves us frustrated. See, it's possible to be on fire, but not necessarily for God. There are many public relations activities that can be mistaken as fire for God. They're driven by human interests and desires. See, to be on fire for God begins by loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your body and all your mind and all your soul. It's the warmth of the love of God that makes you hate sin and all kinds of evil. You find it easier to talk of goodness and the mercy of the Lord as a way of life, not just how you've lacked things or how you've been abused and everything. There's something about getting connected that puts all of the other stuff aside. We can wallow for years in how things have gone wrong for us. But if there's something that gets kindled in us, it doesn't matter. And we gain a whole new perspective on life. And we become people that people want to be around. You know, we have compassion. I want to say that we have very compassionate hearts. And we want to be around. We want to help and we want to encourage people. But you know something? Very often we don't come out of it feeling very good. And we'll find some programs or some solution to things. Let me tell you, the fire of God changes everything. It changes everything. It compels you. In the fire of God, you take a stand on issues, not because of how well things have worked out for you or how bad, but as you are compelled by the Spirit of God within you, you begin standing, not because of what's been done, but because of who you are and who you shall be in Christ and who you are in Christ. See, the prophet Jeremiah knew that he didn't have an option in regard to choosing whether to be on fire for God or not. He felt compelled by something deep within him. This is what he's saying here in this verse. I know it took me a long time to get back to this verse. But there was something in him. He said, if that thing's in me, I can't hold it in. It's going to tear me apart if I don't release it. And that's what he did. Let me just read a book. This is a book that I'm reading. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Radical by David Platt. And I was over at Heather and Lowell's the other day. Their church has actually been going through it, and I've actually got some copies for all the elders to first read and then see what we're going to do with it. But let me read something about, this is what the fire of God is about. This is about John Patton, or Miss... He was a missionary that went to the New Hebrides. That's in the Pacific Islands. Listen to what he set his heart on one island in particular. 20 years earlier, two missionaries had gone to that island. They were killed and cannibalized. So it was no surprise that many dissuaded Patton from even the thought of following in these missionaries' footsteps. Patton wrote, amongst many who sought to deter me was one dear old Christian gentleman whose crowning argument always was, the cannibals! You will be eaten by the cannibals! John Patton replied to this man, Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in your years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. He had the fire of God in him. And then there's a fellow by the name of C.T. Studd. Too long we have been waiting for one another to begin. Let me say that again. Too long we have been waiting for one another to begin. The time for waiting has passed. Should such men as we fear, before the whole world, aye, before the sleepy, lukewarm, faithless, namby-pamby Christian world, we will dare to trust our God. And we will do it with his joy unspeakable, singing loudly in our hearts. We will 1,000 times sooner die trusting in our God than live trusting in man. And when we come to this position, the battle is already won, and the end of the glorious campaign in sight. We will have the real holiness of God, not the sickly stuff of talk and dainty words and pretty thoughts. We will have a masculine holiness, one of daring faith and works for Jesus Christ. Yeah. I want the fire of God. I want you to have the fire of God. And I want it to be so consuming and burning inside that you can't help but let it out. Let me read a post from my good friend Graham Ord. He put this on just after some of the first people in Iraq were beheaded, Christians. I studied theology a few years ago, and part of my course reading was a book called Fair Sunshine by a man called Jock Purvis. It's an account of atrocities that befell the Scottish Covenanters who were martyred under Charles II. Later, my wife, that's Natalia, and I spent the early years of our marriage in St. Albans, so named after the first Christian martyr in the UK, living in a house that was built to commemorate George Tankerville, a martyr who was burned at the stake on the green outside the house in 1555. In my travels to five continents, I have met many believers who have suffered terribly for their faith, especially in Eastern Europe. Some of the stories from places like Romania, Russia, and Bosnia have shaped my own faith immeasurably. I became active in the work of advocacy for the persecuted church many years ago through the Jubilee campaign, and still feel it's important to be aware of what is going on around the world and to campaign politically where you can. It's against this backdrop of personal experience that I have noticed in recent times how cool it has become for some Christians to say, "I'm not a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus," or other such sayings, "I'm a God-fearer." I really get the fact that most of it is an attempt to disassociate with the right-wing, Tea Party, gay-hater, narrow-minded stereotypes of what a Christian is portrayed in the media. I'm ashamed of that too. But personally, I've never felt comfortable with denying that I am a Christian, even if it means people tar me with that brush. Seeing the severed heads of Iraqi believers raised on stakes in the news today and children cut in two while their mothers are sold as slaves reminds me of those Covenanters and George Tankerville actually killed by fellow Christians. It humbles me to think that many Christians were slaughtered even today because they refused to disown the name of Christ. It also reminds me of the fact that the blood of a martyr is a powerful, evocative emblem that cries out for justice from the dust and which unleashes a blessing from God that is only evoked by such an ultimate sacrifice. Violence and evil will never prevail over righteousness, peace, and love. I personally will never deny that I am a Christian, and I don't give a rip about how uncool it might be to some. I'm proud of it. Jesus is the reason I am alive today. He is the ultimate lover of every person on earth. He is the hope of the nations, and every breath is a gift from him. I identify with many that are suffering for their faith in many parts of the world and pray that their sacrifice will be a seed that, having died, will blossom into a massive unleashing of unprecedented blessing. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Just want to say this. Keep in mind that whatever you are committed to will determine the fire within you and will consequently shape your actions. In the changing scenes of life that we are faced with, are we able to say the strength and courage that guides us comes from an intimate relation with God, that comes from a fire that burns deep within? I want to close just by playing a clip. It's a YouTube thing by Casting Crowns. And to me, it's been an inspiring video, that song that when it comes on the radio, it's full blast. Boss even now turns it up. "Here it is, Papa." And he turns it up full blast. But listen to this, because this is what I believe God is talking about. Saints, we were made to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. So, Sean, if you could just play that.
Born in weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive.
Yes, Lord.
We were made to fly. Our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
Oh, Jesus.
Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to fly.
Acts 4:13 says, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Father, I thank you that your desire is for us to be ablaze. Lord, we know as we start this new season, Lord, we want to acknowledge our need for you, and we need for your Holy Spirit, and your need, our need for that fire of God within us. And Lord, we want to declare this morning, Lord, we don't want to be just survivors. want to be known as those who thrive. Fill us afresh, we pray. Baptize us afresh, we pray. Set us on fire afresh, we pray, for your glory. And Lord, let glorious things be spoken of you because of what you're doing through our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. David, you have something?